Hello, welcome. My name is Cecilia Tolbert, and I am joined by my friend and co-host.
Hi, this is Lauren Van Loo.
And this is Rambling Retrospect! The drunk edition, or at least the drinking edition. We're both having something fun, because we just watched The Swan Princess from 1994, and oh boy, do I need a drink.
We should have been drinking while watching it, honestly. We really should have.
This is an animated movie from 1994, directed by Richard Rich, who came from the Disney company and then got mad, and he either quit or fired. I'm not sure. But he also directed The Fox and the Hound and The Black Cauldron. This is a movie from his production company, and oh boy, did I like this more as a child than I like it now.
Oh, I feel so bad because I love this movie, but it definitely, like, rewatching it, it really doesn't pair up.
Oh my god, this movie is... It's just not meant for me anymore. I guess I would say it's not Pixar in the way that, yes, it's meant for kids and kind of a family, but you don't have to be a kid or a family to like it. This movie is meant just for kids.
Well, what was it? Because it's definitely not Disney. So it's like, Carl called it something. It was like Disney Rejects or no.
Well, in the 80s, Disney kind of had a, I don't know exactly how to phrase it, but a bunch of their animators left and went to create their own studios. And so probably the most famous of those is Don Bluth, who did American Tail, he did Anastasia, he did Land Before Time. I'm pretty sure he did Secret of Nim. And then he's done some bad ones too. Did he do Rockadoodle?
Yes, he did!
He did Thumbelina, right? Did he do Thumbelina?
Yep, he is Thumbelina.
There are some movies I can look back on and know they're bad but still like them. Like, I think Rockadoodle is definitely one of those. Thumbelina is definitely one of those. But this movie, I remember loving this movie as a kid. And, oh, did not have as much of a good time watching this as an adult as I did as a child. Just so everybody knows, Laura and I literally just watched it, and we took a lunch break. Now we're back with alcohol.
Yeah, this is a completely fresh perspective on it. And I will have to say, I don't hate it. I have a soft heart for it, and I always will, but it's completely guilty pleasure for me. Not a fan of the story, but I like the musical numbers. And Cecilia hates the musical. It's really not good music. It's not.
No, I don't like the music. The only song that I really liked, I mean, Far Longer Than Forever is fine, but I really liked, they played a song during the credits and I was like, this is a song I like, but they didn't play it throughout the movie.
Oh,
I really enjoyed the credits to this movie more than I did the movie. The characters are one-dimensional, they're just not good, they make decisions that don't make sense, and the plot is just... It's like we're adapting this really dark ballet, but we're gonna do it for kids, but not in the way that The Little Mermaid took a dark story and did it well, but just put a happy ending on it.
The Dark Mermaid's still kind of scary too, even though it was really fucking dark.
Yeah, they try to kind of do something with this movie where it's like loosely based on the ballet, but it ends happy as opposed to ballet where everybody like dies. But yeah, towards the end, I told Lauren I was rooting for the villain. I wanted the villain to win, and he didn't. And his death made me sadder than Odette's sort of death.
Yeah, his death was really sad now that I think about it. Poor Rothbart. We should probably explain, like, what the film is. Do you want to do that or do you want me to do that? Who is more capable of doing it? It's more the question.
I think I could do this really quick. This movie is about two kingdoms who both have children who they've decided, let's force them to marry each other. You see the kids grow up together, and then when they're finally old enough and they decide that they kind of do like each other, the prince tells her the only thing he likes about her is her looks, so she denies him. And then the villain shows up, kills everybody except Odette, who is the main female protagonist, and captures her and places a magic curse on her where she turns into a swan. And then essentially the rest of the movie is just Derek, who is the male protagonist, trying to find the female protagonist, and when he does, trying to break her curse. And then everything goes poorly. Odette almost dies. He fights the villain. The villain's defeated. They end up together. They end up married.
It's not really the end, though, because guess what? There's 10 fucking movies all together now.
I want to watch the really bad sequels.
Oh, they're so bad.
So the first three are animated. They're almost like your classic animation. I don't think they're all done in the same way, but they all look like your classic line-drawn animation. And then after that, they switch to, like, Barbification, where everything is CGI. And I love the Barbie movies, so I want to watch these really bad sequels really bad.
They are so terribly designed.
There's one called Tomorrow a Princess, Today a Pirate, and I'm like, yes!
I got a little history.
Okay, have at it.
Disney might have actually sabotaged it a little bit because of the theatrical release, which is kind of interesting. So this film completely fucking bombed in theaters. It did great for VHS sales, but when it came out, it was November 18, 1994. Disney did this weird thing in the 90s where they would pull their movies and then re-release them later. And the movie that they decided to re-release, which is my all-time favorite fucking movie, is The Lion King. So you gotta think, when they're putting The Lion King to The Swan Princess, what are you gonna go see?
Well, this was a thing that Disney did a lot, though. They love to sabotage things. When The Land Before Time came out, which is a Don Bluth film, I think that same weekend Disney decided to release, I think, Oliver and Company?
Yeah, which Oliver and Company was not really well received, I don't think, as much as other films. I liked it, though.
But yeah, so they did this thing where they had a habit of releasing their animated films during one of their competitors' animated films. For The Land Before Time, it didn't work. Land Before Time made a lot more money. But yeah, they did essentially release Lion King to disrupt their competitor.
And because of that, they had to work on other projects until, like, 1997. And for some reason, they were able to make some profit for VHS sales, thankfully. But in 97, they came out with the second film, which that film did not profit well at all. But then somehow they made the third film. And, you know, still not the greatest profit, but they still wanted to keep it going because the franchise was still seen as popular. It just wasn't as profitable. And then they wanted to gear to a newer audience because you have to think, people our age, by the time, what was it, 2012 was when the newest one hit for, it was like a Christmas special. People our age or younger were already having kids. So they wanted to bring something to the audience to bring back Swan Princess. They have a website that looks like it's from the early 2000s. It doesn't look like it's been updated.
I mean, the Heaven's Gate website's still up if you want to go look at that.
They're all dead though, right?
Yes. This movie was done in a time where they didn't always require the voice actors to sing, so you get some differences between voice acting and the singers of the characters.
Some of the really cool voice actors that were in it, John Cleese, which he's known for, like, Monty Python and stuff like that.
He chose to do this movie over The Lion King.
What?
He was going to be Zazu.
No.
And he denied it to do this movie.
What? Even I didn't know that.
Regret that decision.
John.
Well, he just thought the character was more interesting. Which, to be fair, Zazu is
Zazu.
Like, Zazu's great, but Zazu's character is, I'm the advisor. And that's it. So he just thought it would be more fun to do John Bob.
So he chose to be a frog sidekick and the Swan Princess over Zazu, the advisor, in The Lion King. And then Stephen Wright, who I guess is like a huge comedian and stuff like that. I should know who this is off the top of my head, but I don't know unless I look it up. He played Speed, so he was pretty popular in the 90s. That's the turtle. And then Liz Calloway, she's like the most epic person in the whole flippin' movie. She is known to everyone else as Anastasia.
Anastasia!
If you guys haven't seen Anastasia, I don't know what the hell's wrong with your childhood. I'm so sorry, but please go watch it.
Be okay with the fact that they turned that tragedy into a fun movie.
Yeah!
Instead of being like, you know, the Russian rulers got, you know, thrown out of power for a reason. They're like, oh, no, no, no. Evil wizards.
Exactly. I mean, and it's not like all the family was murdered.
I love the movie looking at it not in the context of reality.
Wait, which one? The one we just watched?
No, Anastasia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, the Swan Princess based on a real event.
It is based on a ballet.
I guess the other interesting person would probably be the guy who voices and sings for Derek. His name is Howard McGillan. And from what I read, he is the person who has played the Phantom on Broadway for the longest amount of time.
Oh, really?
Yes. I think on Broadway. I don't think on the West End. I think Broadway.
No. Why?
He's got a good singing voice, and his voice acting is fine. It's just the character is dog shit. And I don't blame anybody for taking a role to get money, because you gotta pay your bills.
That kind of hurts a little, especially after watching the movie and knowing that.
Oh! You know who also is a really interesting voice actor in this? So the guy who plays Bromley, which is Derek's, like, best friend that he doesn't care about. Do you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah, I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
That's Scully.
No, it's not.
Yes, yes it is. 100% it is.
Holy shit! Wonder what Scully was like back in the day.
Yes, and for you Gilmore Girl fans.
Ooh.
The voice actor who speaks King William is Headmaster Charleston.
I love Gilmore Girls, but I'm trying to remember. Is that the headmaster from the college or school?
Chilton.
Fancy Ash Chilton. Definitely recommend Gilmore Girls as a watch. It's good.
And then the voice actor who does Queen Yberta. She's done a bunch of things. She did a bunch of voices for My Little Pony, the original. She was one of the voices in Fox and the Hound. She was also a voice in Rockadoodle.
You really like Rockadoodle. We'll have to do Rockadoodle.
Rockadoodle is an acid trip. It is like one of the craziest movies I've ever seen.
It really is. I never thought of it like that.
Because I wouldn't say it's good, but I would say it is like very entertaining. I would say it's definitely in the it's so bad it's good category, because that movie is insane. Rockadoodle is one of those movies though that I might consider buying.
Because that's a movie you'd want in your film section. So, oh, the live action thing. Didn't even mention that. They want to take the original movie and try to make it into a live action.
Essentially, you want to just make a live action version of the ballet. Although, I guess they kind of did that with Black Swan.
That movie, that was a trip for me. That was terrifying.
All right, shall we get into the plot of one of the biggest animated box office disasters in history?
Sure, where do we start from?
We start at the beginning. The narrator, who is voiced by the writer of this screenplay.
Wait, is it seriously?
Yeah, Brian Nisser. He pretty much just gives a little introduction like, hey, the king's old and wants a baby. He has a baby now. Yay! Everyone's bringing the baby presents, and that includes Derek. And you get a really terrifying image of baby Odette, who has a full head of blonde hair and looks like she's a 40-year-old woman stuck in a baby's body.
No! She's at least looks like she's a toddler, though. So she literally was just born. Everybody's coming to visit, which might take, like, maybe a month or so, but she looks like she's at least a year old. It's like, what the hell? Oh, and her mother's gone. We don't know. So it's either the trope that her mother's dead, so it's like Disney ripoff there. Or we don't know. The mom's just not there.
I'm guessing the mom probably died in childbirth.
Yeah, but it's fine. We're all happy because baby.
Or maybe there wasn't a queen and he had sex with like a kitchen maid or something. Who knows?
It could be a few things. I do want to bring up, because I'm going to make some references from a YouTube video that I watched by Laura Crone on Facebook that she calls What Else Is There. She did point out some really good points in the film. I definitely recommend watching her video on that. Just of some pointers about like, oh, what did this film teach me? And one of the things was that trope.
This film is damaging. This begins the trend of ripping off Disney, which is no mom, which is fine. I mean, if you look back in history, it was a very common thing for women to die in childbirth. That's not a big deal. But the whole bringing gifts to the baby is very Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that part. That for sure is. There was also a few other parts that were very Sleeping Beauty-esque as we go on. Also, Derek's mom is introduced as a widow. It's not really said.
I'm going to guess he died at war. That's my guess. He died in war from the pox.
So he did. And pretty much the parents are thinking, oh, we can put them together in arranged marriage and unite the kingdoms and make them fall in love with each other by making them meet every summer and spending it together with them. So the kids have no say. And during all this time, Mr. Little Rothbart is this guy, this villain guy.
Rothbart is one of my favorite characters. He's a villain and he should have won. He was my protagonist of the movie.
Pretty much throughout the whole movie, we had a clear understanding of what Rothbart wanted. Pretty much what he wanted, what he was going for. And it's like, yes, gotcha, cool.
Everything else is just like, pfft. And he has this little dungeon with his hunch woman, which, love her. And he's found out, so him and the hunch woman run away.
It's good to have goals.
Yes.
Is she a henchwoman, or is she more of, like, his Igor?
Kind of like a bit of both. Like, she does what he tells her to do. He uses her for his own gain. So, I don't know. I guess it's however you perceive it.
I think she might be credited as the hag.
That is so mean.
If there's any indication of how this movie looks at women.
Oh my god, that's so mean though. Just because she's old and small? That poor woman.
So the next part of the movie is essentially you get a song, and this might be the only song in the whole movie that actually advances the plot of the movie.
It's the one song that's actually good.
I wouldn't say that, but it's at least amusing. It didn't bore me. So it's Derek and Odette growing up. It visits them 3 times while visiting each other over the summer and about how much they hate each other. And it's actually really great. You get a lot of character development. Well, not from Derek. Derek has no character development except he's a terrible boy.
Yeah.
Odette has character though until she becomes an adult in society, has ground her just down into the dirt. You're a woman. This is how you are. You are nice, sweet, and compliant.
But she's got some moves in that little sequence there. She's throwing some tomatoes with her, what is that called? Slingshot.
Well, like the first time they meet, I thought it was really funny because Derek's an asshole. I mean, they're young, so they're kids, so he's in the mentality of ew girls, but he's rude. And she's just like, okay, you're gonna be fucking rude to me, I'm gonna be rude to you back. And then every time they meet, they're just like at odds. It's almost like they wanted to do the two opposites attract, but they went from hating until they see each other as adults and they're both like, handsome, beautiful, let's do it, let's smash.
Oh, hi, I like your face.
They try to make a big point of the fact that Odette wants to be loved for more than her looks. But in the song, when they see each other as adults, she's not like, I still don't trust him, he hasn't proved to me that he actually likes me. She's like, oh, he's handsome. And then they kiss. And then she gets mad at him for saying all he likes is her beauty. Well, Odette, why don't you give Derek an example of why you like him? Don't live this standard that men always have to make the first move. She says no to marrying him, but he says you're beautiful. And she's like, what else? And he's like, is there anything else? And that line is hilarious.
But what else?
What else?
Is beauty all that matters to you?
What else is there?
Oh my god, Derek, you're so fucking dumb.
I love later when his, like, advisor, I think Roger, is just like, what the fuck is wrong with you, bro? Couldn't say anything else?
Is beauty all that matters, and you say, what else is there? You should write a book, How to Offend Women in 5 syllables or Less.
That is exactly how I felt. So Odette says no to the marriage because there's nothing besides beauty, apparently. Not anything that, to keep your kingdom strong, you should do what's best for your people and marry each other. Nope, I'm more important than my people. I'm not gonna marry you. She storms off. I'm like, this is not how royal marriages work back then. Her family leaves. Her and her dad and all the people leave, and they get attacked on the road by Rothbart, who is dressed up as the great animal, who is a weird bat bear creature. And then we cut to Derek being scolded and playing chess.
This whole film, he doesn't develop as a character, I feel like. It's just like, at the end, he kind of...
My big qualm was that, okay, let's say Derek's big thing is beauty, whatever. He spent every summer with her his whole life. So he couldn't think of one other thing he liked about her. Like, she's great at cards. She's smart. Derek does not deserve her. But then again, she kind of deserves Derek because she loses all her personality when she becomes an adult, so.
It was like she threw everything that she said out the window and she's like, well, you're only gonna marry me because I'm pretty? What the fuck? And then it's like, all of a sudden, it's just like, all that went away. And it's like, I love you so much. You need to confess your true love for me because I love you. What the fuck? Where did everything else go?
She got turned into a swan, and so she's like, you know what? I thought nothing could be worse than marrying somebody who only thinks I'm pretty. But, you know, being a swan isn't great. I think I prefer the other thing.
Definitely doesn't teach a good message. It's not always about beauty.
Some relationships are not good, especially the ones where they only care about the way you look. If you think there's something wrong in your relationship, definitely really think about it, because you can be definitely blind by love.
The only reason I don't hate the king or the queen in this movie is because, yeah, they're trying to force their kids together, but they're doing it for the betterment of their kingdom. And I'm like, if you're royal, especially in a time where it's not like you're just there as a, just as a face, it makes sense for you to do things that are better for your kingdom.
So they're trying to mix it to be modern for the 90s, and then it's like, oh, but it takes place in medieval times.
If this was real medieval time, they would just be like, you're marrying each other, that's it. And they'd be like, okay, that's my one job, got it.
And people just had to accept that shit back then. I mean, look at King Henry VIII, man. Or hell, any. There were people that were marrying their cousins. They didn't have a choice. Especially the whole royal family.
Marriage was not invented as a romantic thing. Marriage was invented as a wealth and property thing. That's why as a woman you're given away, because you're property.
Incest is a real thing too, by the way, in the royal families.
So, Great Beast attacks, steals Odette away, and kills everybody else. And Derek finds out, and he's like, no! Odette, no!
Odette!
Odette! Their whole thing is that Derek learns how to say his feelings. But it could have just been fixed by him and Odette having a nice conversation away from everybody and then figuring out, oh, they do like each other for more than just their looks, saying they were going to get married, and then Odette going off to prepare for her wedding and then getting snatched.
Plus, we need those musical numbers. We need the generic Disney musical numbers.
No, it's dumb. I don't like it. Stupid. Some sort of time passes. I would say anywhere from like a week to like maybe a month or two. I don't think like a year has passed. Some amount of time has passed, and you find out that Rothbart has cursed Odette to become a swan during the day. When the moonlight hits the lake, she gets to turn back into a human, and he's essentially doing this because he wants to marry Odette to get the kingdom, because apparently he has tried to get the kingdom in other ways and has failed. So he's like, I'm just gonna marry into it. And I'm like, you know what, Rothbart? I appreciate the hustle.
He knows it. He knows what he's doing. He has a goal. He has a way of accomplishing it.
Maybe he would be better for the kingdom. These two idiots don't seem to know what they're doing. Odette's like, no, never. I'm never gonna marry you. And she runs away.
I don't know. I think she just walks to the next scene.
Goes back to Derek. He and his friend are hunting musicians with like a medieval version of paintballing.
Do you need to talk about a few things? The effects that they're doing that are Disney-like.
Odette's whole turning back into a human thing is just straight Cinderella, but without all the fun. All the backgrounds of this look beautiful. The actual characters look a little cheap.
I think Odette looks pretty.
I think she looks fine. These characters look very direct to home video to me.
Well, yeah.
If you had shown me this movie and I'd never seen it before and asked me, do you think this was in theaters or do you think it was straight to DVD? I would have guessed straight to DVD.
Understandable. I could see that.
Except for the backgrounds. The backgrounds are very pretty.
But they were from Disney originally, these animators, and no longer. So at least they learned, they got something from that.
What else is there? Is there anything else that happens so far that's Disney-like?
Yeah, the scene that reminded you also Sleeping Beauty was that dance scene, which I never thought about that.
There's a dance scene between Odette and Derek after they're like, oh, you're pretty, and they dance together, and then the background turns rainbow, and it's just straight stolen from Sleeping Beauty.
I think there's some other scenes that later happen that sound that are similar.
It's a nice ripoff of many things.
Oh, yeah. They pretty much just like took like some really good franchises of different movies that did well and then like, you know, put them together as the fantasy film trope, which the reason why they went with Swan Princess like they did was because they knew it would sell. Richard Rich tried to work with other companies when he left Disney, but he wasn't getting anybody to take him, even though he was a Disney animator at one point. You know, Disney was not doing that well at that time, and some of the stuff he wanted to make was not anything anybody wanted. But then all of a sudden, you know, The Little Mermaid comes out, the Renaissance happens, and so they're always like, oh, well, what if I do something in the fantasy realm that's kind of getting big again? And that's kind of why he focused on the Swan Princess, from what I read.
Makes sense.
So, I mean, no diss to the Swamp Princess. I will still always have heart for it and love it, but there are a lot of things that just need help. Like, this next scene. So now we're getting into some of the odd songs.
Like, I think we just had the song before this where they were singing about loving each other and shit. It's like, for longer than forever. And that had, like, a Golden Globe nomination or something. Now, like Cecilia said, they're having, like, a form of paintball with arrows. And it's a song. Is it needed? No. Is it fun? Yeah. Does it move the plot? No. It just is there.
The biggest thing that I've realized about this movie is that I've fallen out of the demographic for this movie. This isn't a classic Disney or Pixar film where, yes, it's made for kids, but it's also made for the adults that are watching the movie with the kids. This is not. This is made just for kids. But it never crosses the crazy line like Rockadoodle, so I can't enjoy it in the same way.
And that's one thing that's really nice about rewatching some of the stuff from when we were kids. Like, you know, say Sailor Moon, since we touched on that. There were things about it that still worked. There were things that were so insane about it. It's like, but we still loved it for that reason. This is just kind of bland.
I think the songs from this movie remind me of a lot of my feelings toward the sequel to The Little Mermaid.
Oh no, you don't even have to tell me. I already know what you're saying.
Except I found the music from The Little Mermaid 2 a little more fun. But it also kind of does the same thing where there's like one or two of the songs move the plot forward and then the other two, I just don't care. You can have a villain song, but if the villain isn't expressing any more than what the plot has already told you, there's no point. Like, at least Ursula's not only is a good villain song, but it introduces you to all the crazy shit she's done, and so it gives you more context to her. And as much as I love Rothbart, his song is just, I'm evil, I'm evil, I want the kingdom, I'm kind of bad, I'm evil, at the end.
So weird, when I was researching about this, they actually had another song they were gonna put in place of that. It's on YouTube.
Is it better? Did they make a bad decision?
I don't know, we'll have to look it up. But pretty much, they cut that one out, put it on YouTube later for the 25th anniversary, and then put this in its place.
I think I read about that too, because the song that they cut was sang by the actor, and then when they rewrote the new song, it was sung by the guy who made the music for it, so it's not sung by the same guy. Jack Palance? But he's been in a ton of, like, really popular movies, like City Slickers, and he was in Shane.
Oh, those are good films, so why would they have cut his out?
My guess is probably they wrote the song later and they didn't want to pay him to come back, because they would have had to give him more money for him to come back. Definitely wasn't the cheapest member of their cast. He was probably one of the members of the cast that was paid probably, like, the most. So you have the pointless song where Derek decides to torture his musicians and has them dress up like animals, and then they essentially play paintball with them, him and his friend, to see who can get the most hits. And all I can think is, this is why people get deposed and overthrown, because you treat them poorly. Derek's an asshole, and I hate him.
He's not good. He really isn't.
Oh, and they're doing this all because he's training to go kill the great beast, because he thinks that Odette's still alive, but I'm pretty sure she was taken by a mean, angry magic monster that he probably would have eaten her by now.
So he kind of gets the right idea that he thinks the great beast is something that would be something normal, that it turns into something later. So he assumes, like, it's going to be something cute or majestic or whatever, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, there's a fucking swan. We're gonna shoot the fucking swan.
Rothbart's pretty cute.
What? Cecily, what the hell? Where are you going?
At least he's more interesting than all the other characters.
I like his song just because it's got really cool things going on in the song. I don't even remember when the song actually happens. It's so hard to keep track because the songs are in random moments in the film. They don't really have a timeline where they make sense. It just is like, boom, just is. I think there's a friend song in there too. Yeah, there's a song in the middle where it's like, no fear. Where the sidekicks, where there's three sidekicks, there's Frog,
John Bob,
the Turtle,
Speed.
We got Puffin.
He's a Puffin. I like the unoriginality of it.
I didn't even think of that.
You go straight from Derek hunting his employees and then him and his friend having that weird, I'm gonna shoot an apple off your head thing, just so they can have a foreshadowing to the end. That part's not fucking important. Let's skip it. So we go from that to meeting the sidekicks. And I like John Bob. He is a frog who is crazy and thinks that he's secretly a prince. And then you have Speed, who's just like, he's essentially the Eeyore of this movie. And he speaks in this monotone voice. And he's very funny. And then you have Puffin, who is fucking annoying and I hate him. Why is he in this movie? There's too many sidekicks in this movie, but it's for kids. So they're like, kids love animals. Froggy really wants a kiss from Odette, and she's like, no, I can only kiss my true love. But she's already kissed Derek, so...
Enter Speed! species erotica.
When we meet Puffin, he's got an arrow through his wing, but none of that fucking matters because Odette just pulls it out and bandages him. It's literally just a way to introduce another side character that we don't need or could have just already been there. They decide that they're going to steal a map because Odette, my guess is, we couldn't figure it out because we were talking during it, but I think their plan is that they want to try to figure out where the kingdom is so that Odette can make it back there during one of the nights she's human to tell everyone she's still alive, I guess. And so you have the No Fear song, which I hated. It would have made more sense if they had been able to pull it off quietly, because don't you think that the henchwoman would have been like, hey, Rothbart, Odette's stolen a map for some random reason? And he'd be like, okay, I'm gonna show up and stop this.
It's not like they can fly and get inside without making noise. And then we get to that fun scene.
Derek on the hunt. So Derek has found some stuff in the library that talks about the great beast. He thinks it's something like a mouse that will turn into something scary. And so he and his friend go into the woods to try to find this. And you probably have the only funny part in the whole movie where his friend almost shoots a mouse with an arrow and then the mouse squeaks at him and he just screams and throws his stuff up and runs away.
How relatable is that though? I would totally do the same thing.
His friend accidentally shoots an arrow up into the air when the mouse scares him. And so it alerts Puffin and Odette, who are on their way, I guess, to the kingdom. And then Odette hears Derek. And so she's like, oh, the love of my life. I'm going to fly down to him as a swan. I can't talk to him, but I'm sure he won't shoot me. So she flies down. Derek sees a bunch of light flutter off her wings and just assumes she's magic. And so he's like, I'm going to kill this swan. Chase ensues with Derek trying to kill Odette. Essentially, he doesn't succeed because I guess this is the reason Puffin's here. He stops Derek from shooting her multiple times. And then she finally turns back into a human. He's like, ah, you're still beautiful. I can still love you. And so they embrace. What happens from there? Oh, she tells him to go away because Rothbart's coming. And he's like, come to the dance. I'll say that you're my homecoming queen.
That's almost exactly it. To defeat the curse, he has to declare a vow of everlasting love to her, though. Remember that. To her.
He runs off into the woods, and then Rothbart shows up, and she denies him again.
He's just fucking done at this point. He's like, I'm done with this shit.
I've proposed to you 3 times. I get the hint. I don't know how he finds out about the dance. I think he sees her with her necklace or something. And he's like, I know Derek was here. Tomorrow's a new moon, so you can't transform into a human anyways. Ha 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 ha. And he disappears. Essentially what happens in the ballet. So that's where my notes stopped because I got bored at that point. What happens next?
Okay, I'll try my best. So pretty much after this point, he throws Odette into this like tower full of water and she can't get out. They find Derek's friend lost in the woods.
Because Derek is awful and didn't go looking for his friend.
No, he didn't. He didn't go look for his friend at all. So during this time, Derek is back at the castle going, we need the roses to be white for the ball because he found Odette. But he's not telling nobody this, but he's like, Mother, I found somebody. Oh, who is it, darling? You'll find out at the ball.
I want to know why you find the quote unquote love of your life. She's been cursed into a swan form and you're like, you know what would be great for my traumatized future queen? For her to just see swans everywhere at this dance.
All the fucking swans.
The thing that reminds her of her dead father.
Who's that dumb? Derek's that dumb. Nobody marry this man. Just don't even fantasize about him.
Yeah, he's bad. He's bad. He's bad. Before this, we had Rothbart's song. Like, right before this is when Rothbart did his song. Can I just say, usually when they have somebody sing a song that isn't the actor, it's because they want somebody, like, with a really, really good voice. Nails on a chalkboard, this song is. No offense to the guy who did the music, Lex. He's probably a good singer, but he's so focused on doing the character voice that it's terrible. It's so bad.
If you compare it to a lot of the other villain songs out there, it's definitely not in the top.
It's in the bottom.
Oh, being so rough, man.
The song doesn't do anything to the plot besides introducing that he's gonna turn his hench hag into an imposter version of Odette, but he could have just done that in a scene. But other than that, it just tells me exactly what I've already know. He wants to take over the kingdom. And he's mad at Odette, so he's gonna kill Odette and her boyfriend. But it doesn't do anything to further the plot or to tell me more about this character that I don't already know. I like Rothbart, but his song 'twas pointless.
A fun little time for the kids. That's it. Just a fun time. I like the colors. The pastel colors are really cute. The one thing that's nice about this film, there are some pretty tones, really cool set designs for the backgrounds. I like that. But the music, it's like a C minus.
Oh, we never even talked about the popular song. We just skipped over it.
Oh yeah, that one.
It's fine.
I'll be honest though, I've caught myself singing it a few times in the past, but it's not gonna be one I'm gonna like just randomly pick up.
Out of the songs that happen in the movie, it's definitely the best. It's essentially just a love song with them singing how much they want to be together. But Odette, literally the last time she saw him, said, "I'm not gonna fucking marry you." So why is she in love with Derek? I don't understand.
Because everybody in this movie is just a wee bit special.
What happens next? So Rothbart locks her in the thing, and then I think it just cuts to the castle, right? And them getting ready for the dance ball thing. It cuts from there to the weird song that's introducing the ball. It doesn't match any of the other songs. It's weird.
Yeah, so this part, for some flippin' reason, I never really thought about this when I watched this movie as a kid. There's two flippin' songs. Why? I don't know.
That don't do anything.
No, there's a song to introduce the princesses coming into the ball, which, whoop-dee-dee-da. Princesses coming to this ball thinking they're going to marry Derek or, like, be possibly betrothed. Toilet song number one. Hey, you're going to the ball. You might get betrothed to the prince, but actually he found somebody already, but we're still having the ball. So all of these people are here.
Everybody likes a good dance.
I will say though, this number, I only like it because it has pretty shiny things happening. So next we have this random number where all these random women come out, and Cecilia actually explained it really well. She said it reminded her of Singing in the Rain, like a scene from that movie.
It's very Beautiful Girls from Singing in the Rain, if you know Singing in the Rain. It's so that.
It's just sung as like princesses on parade is how it goes.
They all look the same except their eyes.
And they're super shiny. They're wearing these white dresses, and like they have purple leggings, which would not make sense for the time period, I don't believe. Oh, and they have purple hair. Yeah, they all look the same.
Comes off as lazy.
Kind of like that anime effect that always bothers me, but even worse, I would say.
But this movie wasn't lazy. It took them 4 years to make it.
Yeah, 4 fucking years. That's pretty much what that scene is. And then you get to see princesses from different areas come through.
I was just like, can we get to the plot? I don't give a fuck about any of these random ladies.
But that's pretty much all it was. It was just like a random dance scene. And we only see a few princesses. And then that's fucking it. They aren't meant to be with Derek anyways, because he already has Odette, which nobody knows is Odette. Everyone thinks she's fucking dead. We don't know who's ruling her kingdom. And then all of a sudden, everything goes dark.
Knock, knock, knock.
The queen, like, freaks the fuck out. And then comes in a spit image of Odette.
Faudette.
Faudette.
Yeah, and this is straight from the ballet, because in this point in the ballet, the evil character dresses up his daughter, Odile, to look like Odette. And so it's kind of the same thing. She's dressed all in black. And this is really famous in the ballet because they have the same dancer who plays Odette play the black swan. So she plays both parts. You get a nice little nod to that. The hag playing Faudette. And she comes down and Derek's so excited and puts a necklace on her. And at this point, the stupid sidekicks have gotten Odette out of her watery jail, and she's flying off to stop Derek so that he doesn't accidentally kill her by professing his love for Faudette. But he does it anyways, because he's dumb, and he only cares about looks, doesn't know anything about her personality, so can't figure out it's not her, and so Odette starts to die.
Is that how exactly it was in this one, Blake, too?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but I know it's something where either the spell can't be reversed, or she starts to die. I think it's that she starts to die, and then depending on the version that you see of Swan Lake, it's either she dies, she and the prince die, or she and the prince die and they ascend to heaven because they don't want to be stuck under this curse.
Either way, it's sad.
But not in this one. So Odette flies home all week. I don't know why she needs to fly back. She's gonna quote-unquote die either way. Instead of just being like, let's not announce myself and let Odette die before I announce that I'm evil, he's like immediately like, ha ha ha! Stupid Derek! This is what you get for not knowing her personality!
Oh yeah, that's the other thing. Even though it looked like Odette, you could tell it wasn't Odette.
Best part in the whole movie is when he looks back and she's got the hack face, but with Odette's hair. It's so funny.
And then she's like... does this kissy noise.
Best part. Whole movie. Best part. Oh, love it.
How could you not tell that wasn't Odette? I even knew that as a kid. I'm thinking in my head, you have to know that's her. Look past her looks. No. You didn't learn, Derek.
Didn't learn shit. Nope.
No development.
So Derek goes after her, which I don't know if that will do anything. It does, for whatever reason. They never explain how this stops the curse.
That was something that was bothering me.
Well, in the ballet, the only reason Derek doesn't kill Rothbart is because Odette tells him that if he dies, she'll never turn back into a human. The curse is permanent. Whereas in this, she's like, just leave. But he gets on his horse, goes after Odette. Like you pointed out, there's another Sleeping Beauty moment where he's cutting down branches. Like Prince Philippe is cutting down the thorns.
They really like Sleeping Beauty.
I don't know why this made me laugh, but Swan Odette falls to the ground and lays there dead. And I don't know why, but like just the way that swan was laying just made me laugh really hard.
You're so fucking morbid, man.
She turns to Odette and I just laughed even harder because I was like, what ridiculous is this movie? Derek shows up and is like, no, I love you.
Novell!
You have more than beauty. You're nice.
You've courage.
Which, sure.
And the vow I made was for her!
He loves screaming to the gods. Then he fights Rothbart, who turns into the Great Beast.
Great animal!
It's fine. He kills him by shooting him in the heart with an arrow. He's dead.
That's it. Rothbart's gone.
And then Odette turns out to be fine. I'm guessing it's because it's the opposite of the ballet where Rothbart died, so maybe the spell was broken? Doesn't fucking matter. Derek and Odette get to be together. Oh joy. And they get married. And I think the only other thing of note that happens is that John Bob does not turn into a prince when Odette finally gives him a kiss.
But he thinks he does. So there's a random scene where he does get a kiss. He thinks he turns into a prince and then he looks at himself in the water of a pond. And there's this prince that looks like what he would look like as a prince looking at himself. And he thinks it's him. I feel so bad for John Bob. He can't get a break. All he wants to do is be a human. And his poor face, they make him look so terrible in the CGI films. I feel so bad for him.
My question is, did Odette being turned into a swan and then back give her the power to be Dr. Doolittle, because she can now talk to the animals and they don't explain it?
Can anybody else in the other films talk to them?
I don't know. I don't know if so they can't or they only show Odette talking. I haven't seen the other films in a very long time.
Holy shit. I don't know. How did we not catch that when we were watching that? Holy shit.
It just came to my brain because I was about to say the quote that happens between her and Speed. And then I was like, wait, she's a human. She's been talking to these animals.
Derek's not even batting a fucking eye during that whole scene either. Because he's there.
There are implications to that. Like, there are implications to Elsa being able to make snow become living. They never explain that Elsa has life powers.
I think it's probably because she's the spirit.
Well, at least in the first one, they never explain it. You're like, so she has ice powers, but she's also Jesus? Quote I was gonna say is that after John Bob goes into the party thinking he's a human prince, Odette turns to Speed, is like, do you want a kiss? And he was like, I'm okay with being a turtle, thanks. He's not stupid enough to think that a human kissing him is gonna turn him into a human that he's not. Does John Bob have some sort of, like, dissociative, like, disorder? Because he really thinks he's a human and he's not.
He might. I mean, I think Derek has BPD, so since I have BPD, that's why I assume so.
I think Derek has influenza. The whole, like, rich kid mentality where he doesn't need to have a personality because he has money.
What does his mom have then? Because she's extremely manipulative in the whole movie.
Manipulative because she wants the kingdom to have a king again, and apparently Derek can't become a king unless he has a wife. Like how in the second Santa Claus, he can't stay Santa Claus unless he has a Mrs. Claus.
Okay, that doesn't make sense because, okay, the YouTuber I watched, which I appreciated her video. It was really good. Please watch it. Please watch her stuff. I just started following her. Laura Crone. What else is there? She even made the comment how you don't need a man to rule a country. That's what she was talking about. And she has a good point. So why would Derek need to get married to rule the fucking country? Unless it's like the other country. I think it's the other country. I think it's Odette's country.
I think it's just their rules of their kingdom. I don't know if it's when Derek comes in, but she says, finally, our kingdom will have a king again. So I'm wondering if it's just part of their kingdom. Like, for example, there have been female queens like Elizabeth that have just been on the throne themselves. But there's also been in history where Henry VIII, all his female daughters, they weren't in line for the throne. It would make more sense for Derek to be able to rule. But historically, for Odette, it would probably make more sense for her to have to marry to be on the throne. Or I'm sure when she gets married, Derek probably has more of a say than she does. Because that's why Elizabeth I never got married. Because she didn't want a man to take her power away.
She had the right idea there.
Derek and Odette get married. Everybody's happy. The movie ends and you get the weirdest animation of the whole movie. Where it's like the only time that you CG. And it's like this weird water effect. Everything looks fake. It looks very strange. And then it goes to my favorite part of the movie. Which is the credits. Unless I am forced to watch this movie again, I will never seek to watch this movie again. It was, for me, very boring.
I feel so bad. I thought this would be like a fun experience.
I can see why I liked it as a kid. Mostly it was just like every time the plot would sort of start to go somewhere, they'd be like, hey, here's a song that does nothing for the plot. I'm like, oh my god, we're never gonna finish this story.
What's funny is it's not that long of a film at all. None of them are. They're like an hour or something.
It's only an hour and a half.
I think it's the longest one out of all of them. There's fucking 10 of these. How did they produce 10 of these? It's like the Land Before Times. There's too many. I mean, no offense. I love Land Before Time. Don't get me wrong.
There's so many Land Before Time movies.
Just stop.
So I would say overall, this movie did not hold up for me at all. I was expecting it to be more fun than what it turned out to be. And I think if I hadn't watched it with Lauren, I think I would have been smacking my head against the wall.
So it was probably good that we watched it together.
Yeah, I was just like, this movie is never gonna fucking end. I just want Rothbart to win.
He's the only one that had a goal in that whole movie that actually made sense and that could have been a thing. We don't condone being bad or evil. Don't do it. Don't do drugs, kids.
But if there was more evil in this movie, it would have been more interesting.
Would this even be made today?
I don't know if it'd be theatrical, but I could definitely see this movie being made today. For a cash grab, I could totally see it.
But like seeing like how we're so big about internal beauty and about how open we are about like how people feel about when it comes to loving yourself and loving others and all that jazz. Like, it's so triggering that if this was made today, I was like, no, I wouldn't. I don't think I'd want my kids to watch it if it was made today, knowing that. Because, like, they troped on it being so kid-friendly that the little bit parts were supposed to make up for how boring the actual premise was, I feel like. And see, you feel the opposite because you hated the music. And see, the music is what I liked about it.
The music was so painful. I wish we had just watched Return to the Sea. Little Mermaid 2.
Oh, God, I forgot that's what it was called.
Have you ever seen any Barbie movies?
Yeah.
Have you seen Princess and the Pop Star?
I'm sorry, did you say Princess and the Pop Star? Not the Popper, the Pop Star.
Yeah, because they have two. They have a version of Princess and the Popper, but then they did a version of Princess and the Pop Star, and that actually has some pretty good music in it. Maybe you, me, and Riley need to have a movie night, because Riley also really likes the Barbie movies, but we like them because they're terrible.
There are some Barbie movies that I actually enjoy very much. The Princess and the Popper is actually one I really like. There's so many of them. There's too many of them.
There's so many. I do want to watch the really bad sequels that look like they came out in the 2010s. They look terrible and I want to watch them.
I'll watch one with you maybe. I don't know if I could do that.
Any closing thoughts on Swan Princess?
I'm a little bit lost for words. For me, it's a guilty pleasure film. So I would watch it just to watch it.
I get that.
So I wouldn't have kids. Would I have my kids watch it? Would they even enjoy it's my question. I don't know. Maybe I'll put it on the TV one day and make them watch it with me. I don't know. That's kind of how it feels. Like, it's not like one of those movies. It's like, I'm going to pick it up and put it in because it's like, my kids need to watch this film because it's amazing. It's not one of those. Now that I'm rewatching it. I don't know if it'd be like that.
If you had a daughter, would you want her young mind to be influenced by this, though? Her to get in her brain that I shouldn't like someone just because they think I'm pretty? But ultimately, kind of is the moral of the story.
No, I wouldn't. Even today, I'm always like, oh, that's so pretty, and da-da-da. I don't even think about it, but I do say that.
Then again, I guess that could be something where if your child is old enough where you can have a conversation to be like, that movie was fun, but you know what one of the problems about that movie was? was. So maybe that could be like one of those movies where you can still enjoy it, but then you explain like why there are some problems to it. It's like the idea of if you were gonna have your kid watch Gone with the Wind, definitely need to have a conversation with them about how the view of this movie is in favor of the whites. And you'd be like, so this movie was a classic, it did this and this, but this is why the movie is also bad. Which I don't think you should shelter your kids from things like that, but you do also need to like talk to them and give them information and context to it. Because if you just show them Gone with the Wind and they don't say anything, then it also kind of breeds this conception of like this caricature of like, yeah, slaves love being slaves.
And that's kind of what's nice about what we're doing is there's things that we watch as kids that we didn't notice back then had some problem. Like even with Swan Princess, it's not a controversial movie if you really think about it. People aren't going to feel that way now. But like if you really dig into it, you'll definitely see it's like this man, after knowing this woman for almost all his life, is only interested in her because she's pretty. Like what the hell? That does not give a good message. It's not great. It's not from the ballet from what I can remember. But I don't remember all the premise from it, but I know how dark it gets and how there's so much emotion in it.
And I think their story in the ballet is a little different because they don't know each other beforehand. Whereas like Romeo and Juliet, where it's just love at first sight.
Very different concept.
It's very different than knowing someone your whole life and then being like, all I think that's positive about you is you're pretty. I hate the rest of you.
What else is there?
What are we going to be reviewing next time? Reviewing slash taking a look at.
Well, I think we're going to be picking up some episodes of Are You Afraid of the Dark? So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, Laura and I are both going to pick an episode and then we're going to watch it. So I can already say 100% that I'm going to love this because I watch Are You Afraid of the Dark during Halloween every year. I have seen it recently and I still love it. It is hokey. There are moments where it's hokey, but I think for kids spooky TV, it's pretty damn good.
That was the one thing I craved as a kid. It was so hard to find like really, really good spooky content. There was only like a handful of shows back in our day that weren't so hokey or fake. I mean, this show isn't real, but you know what I mean. Like, it was well done for the time when it came out. And Are You Afraid of the Dark? Like, that is, oh, it's like a cheesecake. It's so good.
I love cheesecake.
Yes, if you can't tell, we're very biased when it comes to Are You Afraid of the Dark? Because we both love Are You Afraid of the Dark. So we're looking forward to this.
Very looking forward.
Yeah, we're looking forward to the next episode.
I think that's it. Yeah, I guess until next time, I'll catch you on the flip side.
Over and out.